Hello and welcome into the So Rare Data Show. I am Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdino on So Rare, joined today by GatorGuy231 and Surfula, who have been thrown off of this stream twice already, and we just got started. Gentlemen, how are we?
Good for the moment.
Before we get into the topic, which Surfula was talking to me about, and how did you phrase it? Like, you were like, a conversation I would love to hear. And I was like, do you want to hear it or do you want to be in it? Which was definitely like a, just come on and be in it. And so Surf, thank you for that. We'll get into that. First off, thank you to everybody for coming in. As long as we can, you know, keep being here. Limpy, Kev Herd, and Skosmo on the podiums. We are doing this, let's see. Rewards came out 2 minutes ago. Everybody is celebrating their relegations, which is actually quite funny. Philly Dilly, big day today, my first relegation. Ben Johnson, congrats on the relegation. I had five planned relegations go my way this game week. Guys, what are we doing? This is not how it's supposed to go. Anyway, Major NFT, Carol, what's up? Rascal Misaki, excuse me, Mike Baston. Misaki says, the new game is all about specialization, even though it already was, just even more so now. Sounds like somebody's on Team Surfula on this one. Stefan, what's up? Mike says, that's because the tech can't recognize Surfula in a Japan shirt as being human and not AI. I think, a little changing of the guard, maybe? We'll see. Patrick and Jorge, one more time from Portugal. Hello. Anyway, Surfula, now that you hate Argentina and you're all in on Japan. No, I'm just kidding. That got me in trouble previously, so he doesn't hate Argentina, just very clear. But anyway, you were talking about basically, I mean, you've been a practicer of specialization, I would say, for a while, particularly when it comes to Argentina and like the former Champion America region. And then you were on the show previously talking about basically just moving it to contenders, where the J League is. And you kind of are like, I think this is the way is the right way to play. I'm going to play this way and we'll see how it works out. Excuse me. So what makes you think you're right? How about that?
Well, I guess like it all stemmed from, like you say, that show where I was sort of saying, yeah, you could buy like the best super rare contenders team for X amount of money and stuff like this. And I was like, well, I'm going to just give it a go then and see what happens. And so I've added, like, I traded into a Sho Sasaki, a couple of other guys like Savio and a couple of other ones, Wendell and in Russia, just hoping to try and kind of dominate contenders a bit, really. Hasn't gone too well so far, but I think that's I was sort of saying to you earlier, like I think I've kind of grown a bit desensitized to losing recently, a lot more than I ever have done. And I think that's kind of down to, well, it has been since the change, really, because I think about 3-4 weeks before the change, I won Champ America 2 game weeks in a row when it was like, it was pretty quiet and it wasn't that like a massive game week, but it was still a pretty good few weeks before then. And I'm not entirely sure I've necessarily got it right. And there's been a couple of things that have sort of made me change my mind a little bit recently. And it kind of comes back to, if I'm finding it, comes back to that raffle ticket idea, I suppose. And like, I don't have a lot of tickets. I'm essentially entering one competition every single game week. I've got multiple entries into it, but and that kind of like ends me up in a situation where, yeah, I end up with these kind of dead game weeks at times. And I don't know, some of it's kind of like feels a bit, maybe I'd have more success if I was better spread in a way. I don't know. But yeah, that's kind of my thinking.
Do you consider, I mean, when you think of the idea of spreading your gallery more, is the idea to move down scarcities and play that way, or is it almost like reducing the quality of your super rares while still playing more super rares, super rare lineups at it?
Bits of both, I suppose. So, like, I'm a terrible person in that I'm really, I think I'm probably quite shit at giving advice on this game. And like I was saying to you the other day, when you asked me about, when Laird was kind of talking about his idea of going for like running the same lineups in every division and stuff, I was kind of like, you asked me what I thought about it. And I was like, I feel really terrible in this kind of thing. Cause I just look at everyone's gallery and I think, why aren't you doing what I'm doing? Which like, I'm like, just buy more Argentina super rares, buy yourself a Franco Petrolian, you know.
And print.
I'm kind of like hard headed, I suppose, in the way I play the game a little bit. And one of the things that did make me really consider like the way I play and whether I'm doing it right was that post by, sorry, is it Mike? Oh God, I'm feeling like a terrible person now because I've forgotten his name.
Peter?
Yeah, Peter. Sorry, Peter Stojanov, isn't it? Or I probably butchered his name as well.
Let me pull that one up.
Yeah, him kind of talking about how a lot of people are probably playing a scarcity too high and things like that did get me thinking maybe I am too high. But I've got good cards. It's just that I'm quite odd. I feel like my lack of success recently has been more to do with the timing of the season in Argentina. Like we had kind of two full game weeks in Argentina and then in the new system. And then we've now gone to the playoffs, which was always going to be a bit of a drag. And now we've got a 3-week break and most of my gallery is there. So then I'm kind of thin on the ground from there.
So this is the tweet that Peter sent. He's, Yowza, Y-O-W-Z-A-A underscore on Twitter. And it basically went into, part of it was how much PSV are dominating the Challenger prize pool because they're up in the star tier, like so many other players. But it basically comes down to, as he bolds here, I believe a significant number of people on SoRare are financially overexposed for the scarcity they play in. And a follow-up kind of conversation that the three of us were having, although I will say that two conversations I was having, one with each of you about the same thing that you guys did not realize you were talking about. But it basically came from what you were saying, that you were getting a little bit, it's not like disengaged, but I'm curious actually if people are, and you guys are not the only ones who have kind of said this, but I wonder how many people have been mentally overexposed for the game, and that they consist like, so what came out of this, or how this conversation came up, which I say this out loud and it's going to sound a bit absurd, but both Gator Guy and Surfula were like, I didn't really pay as much attention to my lineups this past weekend and it felt great. And they both almost felt bad about it. And I was just like, all right. And this is a conversation that I've had with other people as well, that are just kind of like talking to Sean about it. And he's like, you know, the stakes are so much lower now, so I can't get that excited. And it feels like there is not a lack of excitement, but people are just not feeling as pressured, I guess, to like track and do everything that they want to do.
I think pressure they want to do. I think the pressure is the right word. I think it's a pressure tactic. Because, like, I think about it like lineup setting alone, which still takes a lot of time, but it doesn't feel as do or die, maybe as before. At least for me, right? That's all I felt like. You know, oh, you make this mistake, and you know that could cost you a rare card worth 2 ETH. Versus now you go, okay, that rare card that you lost was the difference of 0.05 ETH to 0.03. Like, those are thinner margins. It's okay. When it was a difference of 2 ETH to 1 ETH, that's a lot of money different. So I don't know. The stakes part worked for me. I also want to say this on Sean. Bleeping liar, because I will come back to my phone after 4 hours and have 38 tilt messages from him about like the guy got a yellow card and a duel lost, and that was complete bullshit. And now that's a difference of 16 points. And oh man, that's going to take me from a tier zero to a tier two. So erroneous, Sean Newsham, calling you out on that one.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and saying maybe he's portraying what he said on others and not necessarily that. But anyway, so, and Philly Dilly here, I am shocked to find out that some of us might be financially overexposed to SoRare. What I thought was a little interesting about like Peter's tweet and kind of the way that we've been talking about it is I'm not sure the financial part of it is as big as it, as the mental part of it. Like the Surf, I'm wondering if you are not as, I don't want to say you're not engaged, cause that's not fair. But like, if because you've had to expand out from what you were doing previously, that you don't feel as connected to the cards that you then went out and got, and therefore when you don't have that same, like, you know, yes, you scouted them, but I'll argue that the way that you scouted previously is way different than you scout now.
Oh, totally.
And I so think- maybe you don't get the whole, like, I discovered this guy when you buy Sho Sasaki.
No. And I think as well, like I've said before, I'm a complete and utter obsessive. Like when I decided to start buying some J League guys and stuff like that, I watched about 5-6 games for the first 2 weekends of doing that. Just to kind of, I'm not really sure of what I was watching now even, but I was just kind of enjoying the football and just looking. I was looking for guys who I thought, a bit like I did do in Argentina, really. And I found it really difficult because I didn't really know who was who, and I literally had no kind of background knowledge of anyone. But I enjoyed it. Anyway, but like, yeah, I guess I've kind of just gone, these guys score really well, I'll just buy them and that'll do me. And yeah, so maybe it's a little bit of that. But I think as well for me, like, there are times when I really, really enjoy actually being really obsessed with this and being really devoting a huge amount of time to it. There are times when I really value that, but now, like, it might not be too noticeable, but actually the sun's out a little bit here at the moment and it's actually quite nice weather for once in my dark, dingy part of England. And you know, it's actually, there's a little bit more on. And so, yeah, that's kind of the thing, really.
I want to comment on something you just said there. I think I've said this before later on this show, but to me, and it had nothing to do with stakes, but like the beginning part, as you were building your gallery up and you had these guys that like people didn't know about go off and you would see like their price rise up and their performances crush. That to me was like one of the coolest parts of SoRare. And I think sometimes maybe we're all three of us that have been on the platform for a while that, you know, I put out a tweet, I own 2 Messis right now. I never expected to own a Messi limited, much less 2 rare Messis. And that type of thing gets you maybe just a little bit numb when you're like, oh, I'm running out. You know, you look through the SoRare data rankings of a region, you're like, I own 14 of the top 20 guys in the region versus where you were like, I want to win one of them with my guys that I have 60 through 100, but I've scouted matchups or I've, you know, decided this correlations and that got me there. I think that that's a big difference between when I hear you talk, Surf, like what I think, because I've felt the same way.
Because like I when I moved to Super Rare as well, kind of similar thing. It was, the main thing was like every reward I won felt like something. I'd gone from like owning really good rares to all of a sudden it was kind of like starting again and rebuilding. And yeah, what Philly Dilly's saying, if you're bored with owning most of the top 20, it can sometimes feel like time to move up in scarcity. The only difficulty for that is like I have literally zero interest in ever moving to Unique in a way. Which sounds like, God, that sounds really whale problems, doesn't it? That, like, I've only got one.
You sound like you're overexposed right now.
Yeah. Nothing says getting more overexposed than buying into Uniques. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of the point, is that then you are like hugely overexposed then, aren't you? Or it just feels dreadful.
I think, Keith, what you were talking about is absolutely connected to the stakes issue. Or, and I hate calling it stakes because, like, you bought Messies, and obviously winning Messies is great also, but the significant decrease in card values and therefore prices that we pay to get cards makes it easier for everyone to get the elite cards.
Right.
And the high prices, like exorbitantly high now that we look at them, made you have to find somebody like Teddy Tuma.
I was just thinking that was literally the guy that,
like, he's the poster boy for it, for you.
Yes.
Or what's his name? He went to Wolfsburg. Cerny. Cerny? Oh,
man, that you're making me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
But like, guys, when you have guys like that and they smash and you're just like, I found that guy. Not a lot of people knew about it. And then the price goes up because everyone's like, that guy's pretty good. And you're like, yeah, that's my dot all the way on the bottom because I knew he was coming. Yeah. So when prices go down and all of a sudden we can start playing multiple Messies, that part of the game is kind of gone. Right. And when you have guys like Messi, you start counting down from 100 when they score. So Teddy Tuma starts, you're like, all right, he's on 35. And every time he gets something, it goes up. And with guys like Messi, and I would love to say Wendell, but he's been absolutely horrible since I got him. But same. Like,
yep.
Yeah. But guys like that, and it was Andy Black who was actually the first one. He's like, when he got his Messi, he was like, every time I put him in, I expect 100. And so when it's not 100, you're just like 98 and you're like, all right, he was only two away. Like, that's okay. But it totally changes the way you think of this. But also once you have players like that, you just want more of them like that. And
yeah.
That changes the game for you.
And I also think I've got, like, I think the other thing with that is actually, I think it's underappreciated how it's not just really, really easy to win with really, really good guys. Like, I've put out almost every single game week, I get really buzzed in the lineup builder because I'm like, oh, it rates my contender lineup at like 95 this game week. And I haven't had, since the new systems come in, I haven't had a lineup that's like in D1 that's rated less than like 95 or something stupid. And I get really, really buzzed every single game week, but I'm still not really hitting. And I think I'm kind of got a bit safe and a little bit not smart with how I'm building lineups as a result of just having five really good guys. Cause I kind of go, well, I can't not put Sho Sasaki in my best lineup, and I can't not put Wendell in my best lineup, and I can't not put Savio or whoever else in my best lineup. And so I end up just running this cookie cutter, like five guys. Whereas part of what I've done well with in the past is like really playing fixtures well in Argentina and knowing like, oh, Boca have got new coach Diego Martinez in. They're going to start scoring better. They're going to start keeping the ball better. And yeah, playing that way. And I'm not really doing that. And it's kind of got me thinking about how I should probably change the way I'm doing
things. All I heard there is that you were playing a lot of really good guys away from home and they're not doing well. I'm shocked.
Well, two game weeks ago, they were like all at home. And that was as well. I was like, oh, no. Like, but they all came out with like just straight 60s across the board. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it doesn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing.
Do you think that your gallery currently, so it's a little hard to do it because there are more leagues, although it doesn't feel like there's so many more that you've had, but how many domestic leagues do you think your champion America focused gallery touched? Like, was it like Argentina, Mexico,
Brazil, bit of Peru, a little bit of MLS? Yeah, not too many.
Do you think it was more concentrated than it is now as a like contender, gallery?
I think like I think it's similarly, I think it was similarly concentrated, but I think in terms of what I was playing against, like the leagues that I owned in Champ America were like the only leagues, if that makes sense. And so like the variables felt very controllable, and very like I knew what the best matchups were and I always had them, which is kind of like the big change I think now is like if I looked at like the matchups tab or whatever in Champ America, I always had guys with the best matchups and like every single game week, and now a lot less so, I suppose.
Because I was basically going to ask if you have somehow had an unspecialized contenders gallery that you're, because you've expanded out of Argentina, and obviously like Brazil and MLS aren't there anymore for any of those guys that you had, like Mexico, Peru, they're still there. But I mean, you can, in this game, you can specialize, and I don't even know if specialize is the right word, but I don't know if efficient is, but just like a small tight gallery of players. Like, I wonder if you could almost spread yourself too thin, even within contender or challenger, and wondering if like, maybe that's, I don't know what the solution is when with like your gallery where it's like, yeah, I have the best cards in this region. Cause you can't be like, oh, just get better ones because there just aren't better ones. So does it come down to like lineup building at that point? Or is it?
I think it does to an extent.
Do you think that's correlation? The two is like, yeah. You know, we've said this for a while. You buy, what was always the example? You buy Donnarumma, Van Dijk, Kimmich, Mbappe, and name another uncorrelated extra player, and just keep running that every week, and you're probably never winning, even though you have the best at every position, because they never line back up. You know, PSG's playing away to, I don't even know who else is good in France right now, or you know, all these different guys, like it's just never lining up. You finally get the nuts Mbappe game and Kimmich is on the bench, right? Like just stuff like that. And it was like Kimmich is on the bench and you knew it was a risk because it was when he was in trouble with Tuchel, right? So I think that's like, when you said what you were saying, sir, I was literally, as you were like labeling it, I'm like, so he went from a league where he knew everything about everyone and nobody else knew it at all. And he's playing these random ass guys that are going, who the hell would play him in their top lineup? And Surf's like, just watch. Watch me cook. And now he's like, yep, I'm going to play Show. I'm going to play Bitgarum. I'm going to play Wendell. I'm going to play whoever. And I'm just like, it almost sounds to me that you did the lazy Sovere thing.
Yep.
Just because you could.
And like what you're mentioning about correlation there as well, that's come into my mind a lot recently, because I think I've been a bit too harsh on the sort of stacking and correlations type of thing recently, in terms of like, I've never really believed in it. And to the point where I own nearly every single River Plate player, but I never play two of them in the same lineup. And I refuse to own Paulo Diaz because I feel like every single person runs Armani and Paulo Diaz, and so I don't want to run the same lineup as everyone else, because I think, well, if I'm gonna hit, then someone else is probably gonna hit harder. And I think I kind of need to get over myself and stop being such a pretentious twit, and actually bite the bullet and just accept that maybe I should run Armani with my Enzo Diaz and maybe my other River guys a little bit, and then line them up with one of my other smashers and sort of see how we go. Because that, when you look at actually, when, because that's the other thing, is I constantly am looking at who is winning contenders at the moment, and it's quite interesting. Like, there's a guy with, like, is it Ulsan, the really good K-League team?
Yeah,
he's running out five Ulsan guys, and he either won it twice or he won it once and then podium the second time.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, God, that just seems like when I sent it to Led, he was just like, well, yeah, it seems like such an obvious strategy going with the best K-League team and five guys from the best team. And it blooming well does. Like, I don't know why I just, when I looked at this, why didn't I just go, oh, what's the best team in Japan? What's the, like, all right, I'll just buy some Frecci guys. And instead I just went, right, I'll try and be smart. And yeah.
I mean, think about, like, obviously, it wouldn't have aged too well because of the prices you would have paid to start the season with PSV. But, like, literally, if you just had Veerman, Benitez, Piscogli, De Jong, and then you just alternated that extra spot. But you go, those are all, like, top three guys at each position that when they go off more often than not, all of them are involved. Kind of seems okay.
I think you make the argument that Benitez is actually the one you should switch.
Which is fine. Which is fine. Like, I heard Sean say that, and I think that's completely fine. Like, I'll tell you the one thing I've done recently, and I'm not having any results in it, but I don't care. I'm doing it is not always feeling like I have to stack the defender and goalkeeper. If, like, I have a defender that I really think is just that much better than the okay center back that goes with, right? It's like, oh, that guy might get, man, he's doing great. You know, the guy that I think of, even though I don't have the goalkeeper, is Thiago Martins. Man, Thiago Martins is going to have a great game if he drops 52. That's such an outlier upside for him. You know, like, I don't need to play you if I have a Kai Wagner. Like, Kai Wagner, more often than not, is probably going to do better.
I think that's one that I'm starting to open up to, that the whole – well, if they get a clean sheet, then they both benefit.
It's the whole if.
Well, I'll even take that. When they get a clean sheet and it's like, okay, so now my defender now gets 10 extra points and gets him up to 47. And it's like, yeah. That's not great.
So going back to River, so Surf can laugh at me. Like, I didn't buy Paulo Diaz. I bought LGP like forever ago. And there are plenty of times that Armani gets the clean sheet and LGP is sitting there with a red card. Or not a red card. Well, sometimes a red card.
Yep.
A yellow card, you know, four fouls, you know, 13 duels lost. And he's like, oh, he got 48 with the clean sheet. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that one.
In fairness, there was a time where Gonzalez Perez was just smashing.
Oh, he smashed his face off. Yeah. It was when he first got to Argentina and everybody's like, this MLS guy is going to suck.
I think it was right after I got to Paulo Diaz super rare.
Yeah, he kind of, like, it was like midway through, I think, when he kind of got there. Because I
think it was like the shocker, like, oh my God, he's actually, like, because the first time I ever knew about that guy, he was like sneaky good for DFS in Atlanta. From the back three, it would just be like the random guy just would show up for goals all the time. And that was like the first time I remembered him. And then he went to Miami, was terrible. And then, like you said, I think he started out at River terrible. And then it was kind of like, oh, the guy that can't make crappy Miami starting lineup is going to start at River? No.
Yeah, that's why I kind of went Enzo Diaz, which was so I run a little bit. Sometimes I run Armani and Enzo Diaz because Enzo Diaz has like, plays left back and he's got genuine like 100 potential. He does hit hundreds, but he also has absolute stinkers. But yeah, I rarely have the confidence to go, oh, Enzo Diaz is going to be the one for me this game week. And I generally miss his big scores. I should have just committed to the Paulo Diaz, but yeah, trying to be too clever.
I was just going to, there are no Paulo Diaz superheroes on the market. One sold 6 hours ago. Wow.
Well, he had a decent game. He was about the only guy to really come out with much credit from the game at the weekend. And I say much credit because even he was pretty poor for a lot of the games. Right.
So I want to toss out some stupidity for you guys to react to.
Love it.
All of what we're talking about with like these having some alpha guys and all this stuff, but having too many alpha guys in one lineup that don't correlate or that maybe you don't have the matchups as bad. So is there a reason we wouldn't just trim our galleries down to like our alphas or our players that we love and then just scout the 1 to 2 pieces that are in the best matchups that week to plug them in.
Can you actually tell us exactly what you said before? Maybe
I say so much stupid shit. I cannot tell you what I said.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it, because there was a big part of it that I don't think, like, I think if you told people that this was the right way to play, nobody would do it.
It was definitely, by the way, 2 years ago before Lister play. The fact we all didn't do this was beyond hideous.
Agreed. So you said, I want to move to a much smaller gallery that's efficient, and maybe I buy X number of players per game week to ensure that my stars are set up, and then offload those guys at a loss immediately with the hope they yielded more than they cost.
Well, because you're going to take a loss on most of them. I mean, that's just the reality, especially if you're doing new season.
Going in with a strategy of, I am going to take a loss on these guys. I don't think anybody is going to follow them.
Okay.
I know what you're saying. Like, I like making $1,000 here and losing 200 here is okay. But I don't think anybody.
The difference too, by the way, what you just said, that's not where we're at anymore. It's literally
$100 to win 100 and spending, losing 20. Sorry.
And losing 12. Well, no, like, you know, I did it this past weekend. For my new Messi line, because I was just like, this, if there's ever a Messi 100 spot, home versus Nashville, like, this is a 100 spot. And I just noticed it was like for in season, I noticed my defender sucked. Like, I was hoping, like, I had Jordi Alba, because that would have been a nice spot. And, you know, he was injured. So I went to pick score, and I was just like, here's where I screwed up. I was not only like looking for like triple A home guys, of course, but I also just in my head, I didn't want to buy a guy that was inflated because of the pick score or inflated because of the matchup and things like that. So I'm like looking.
Etsy checks on Friday to get a 20 minutes before the deadline.
Yeah. I mean, that's again, like being a little bit too complacent and not doing it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday and waiting till Friday. Right.
Right.
But, you know, I settled on Guilherme from Turkey, which is a league I don't know enough about. But just because his price was similar to what they had been selling for. It, like, wasn't egregious. Like, sometimes you go through on, like, new season just because of lack of inventory. And, you know, the last guy sold an auction for $50 and the cheapest one on market is $95. Like, that seems bad, because when I go to sell that guy on Tuesday, I'm probably getting 80% of 50. You know, I'm getting 40, maybe. So you can't overpay in this strategy so much. And he did terrible. I still got 19th in the competition. I still paid him off, technically. And I already sent it to a bot. I didn't accept yet, but that's kind of the idea. So I paid 0.015 ETH, and the bots all offered me 0.01. So 33% loss on the guy. But I yielded 0.024. Not because of him. He cost me. You know, it was because of Messi. But, you know, if I scouted better, if I picked a better guy, like, dude, like, that was such an egregious pickup. They got dominated. I don't know shit about the league. Like, that was mistake one. It's just going pick score. Not only going pick score, but going, I'm also only interested in the guy that's price isn't inflated. Like, that's like, oh, the ones that everybody agrees with the pick score, X out all of those guys. Let me just get the guys nobody's hyped up on. But I think in that exact situation, let's just say Guillaume. I can't say that dude's name. I can say it in my head really well. Guillaume. But if he drops a 90, right, that's a good lineup. If he drops a 90, maybe I'm top five, something like that. And now we're in a situation where if I spot him for 0.015 ETH, which I think was like $45 at the time, and I sell him for $35, so I spend 10 in like lost cost, right? I can't get that 10 back, but I yielded back 150. Well, that's not bad. And by the way, My new season defenders, awful. Like, I didn't have any good person that I could just play. It would have been like Jao Mario from Porto.
I was saying, see Jao Mario right here.
Yeah, you thought Kiyomame's score was bad until you look at Jao Mario and you're like, oh.
What do you think your hit rate would be on that, Keith, out of interest, in terms of like pick up, like, yeah.
If I try and don't just like be lazy, I'm actually, I feel pretty good at that. Especially if you can go up, like at this time, I think it's a little bit harder when we get into the summer and there's not so many choices and you're like, I only have my MLS fixtures.
Isn't it easier? Like everybody has those fixtures.
Yeah. But I'm talking about this picking, like if you're buying for the one and buying the right matchup, you know, you go, oh, I really like Brooks Lennon's matchup here. And while he scores really well, it doesn't take much for Brooks Lennon to score really, really terribly too. Like as a fullback, you know, we've seen it with Kai Wagner too, right? He can absolutely go off and then he can have some very, very, very average spots. So I think right now where you have access to all these leagues and some of these lopsided spots, it's not that difficult. So, you know, I'd probably say maybe 75%, like to pick the right guy. And not saying the guy that scores 100, but the guy that gets like an above medium type of projection. But I think the key to that, though, is like what I had left in that lineup, right? Had Messi, had Ricky Pooch in a fantastic spot, had Galeno, who was, while he was away, he was still like a minus 700 favorite. And he's been very, very good for them. And then I had a goalkeeper. Goalkeepers, whatever. But, you know, Callander, you know, especially at home, normally scores pretty well. So.
So like you'd be more efficient in terms of like the number of guys you have to enter each competition rather than like number of competitions entered. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, but you, it's funny how we all process this game. In my opinion, I'm totally going like I'm not sold on this yet. I'm trying to sell myself on doing it, like to you guys, but like. We all go, we buy the player, we stash him in our gallery, you know, for this week and then also for the next rainy day. And some of these dudes we don't use again for 8-9 weeks. Ever. But we accept while we're not using that guy, we accept the risk that he's hurt while we're not using him. We accept the risk that he's benched while we're not using him. And we accept the risk that market risk. Like we don't know, like, you know, I heard Sean and Blair talking about like what Rodri's price would be next year. I'm like, you guys have no bleeping clue. Like Sean's like, I think he'll go up. And it's like, that's what's happened in the past. This is not the past anymore. So yeah, I think that we take a lot of risks versus just going, hey, this guy's going to cost me $20 to use. Like, you know, we used to talk about the loan market, right? Like, how much would we pay just to do, like, a one-week loan from Powell? Well, some of us would pay $10-$15 for a good player, good matchup, to if it was our last piece on our lineup. So why do we care if, you know, more than likely we can do what I could have just done with Basil, which is take a $15 loss?
If it costs $10 or $15 for a loan for a game week, Powell would charge you
$200. He's like, that $15 player, you want him for a week? $200.
Yeah. This I want to touch on this. Philly Dilly said, playing contender, you can enter three lineups. We'll say it's either classic or in season, not both, but backup at each position for each team. That's 30 cards for contender. Oh, I guess it is six. Anything more, you should sell and upgrade. It's almost like, Keith, a lot of people look at it like, here are the five guys that I play. You know, I have my goalie, Sho Sasaki, Wendell, and whoever. Is your idea that you actually only have like three or four like core pieces for each lineup, and then you want to buy one or two for each lineup every game week?
So one, I don't know that I'm in the situation that I think having a ton of lineups is the right move. Like if you have like the depth.
Not even a ton though. Like if you had five.
I think where I'm going more for this idea to try it out is just like your top lineup in the division. Like, you know, for me, I've got a in-season Messi, classic Messi. Making sure that those lineups when Messi's in a god spot, which is more often than not, like not this weekend. By the way, Messi owners, he ain't playing this weekend. So, you know, I don't need to do it for this weekend. But like when I have like an alpha card like a Messi, and I know it's a God spot. Like just, and I, you know, I have one of my other best cards in my gallery, a Ricky Pooch, and probably one of the best spots he'll be in all season. Like just making sure that those spots are optimized.
What about this question from Surface? Why is the key pick the medium level guy with a high pick score who you lose 33% on versus picking the elite guy with the high pick score who you may lose 5% on? The elite guy will give you the better lineup spot.
Shot, so Surface, you're actually saying what I say to myself, and then my balls shrink up and I pay the cheap guy. What Surface saying is actually what you should probably do, but the only problem is you don't lose 5% on the guy. Like if you go bot it out, you try to sell it more often than not, you know, the loss. So let's just say that you buy a 500 guy, you're normally probably maybe being able to sell them off to a bot, you know, on the Tuesday for, let's just call it 400.
But isn't the argument that that guy is more likely to be sold not with a bot?
Yes and no. I think there's a chance of that, right? I think a lot of that depends on like where they're at the season, that guy's matchup. Like if you're selling him because his matchup coming up right away is crap, then a lot of people might not be in the market to pay the price of his God spot. Or it could be the other way around. Like he scores 3 goals and everybody's like, I need him. Like, remember like the Hey Bear game midweek, he scored 3 goals and all of his cards just get taken off the market. I think what Sir,
I like how you just dropped the A-Bear game like anyone really knows what you're talking about.
Take this obscure guy playing
in China of all places. Yeah.
That was the most ridiculous one I've seen because nobody should know that A-Bear is doing everything. And all of a sudden you see like 3 super rare sell. You saw like 7 rare sell. I'm like watching them because I own one. I'm just like watching them all get plucked off the market. But yeah.
Keith, you own an A-Bear. Do you know the first letter of the team that he plays for?
Do I care? Hold on. Actually, I do. This week, it's H for home.
Okay. All right.
So, putting aside all that, like, what are your? I somewhat know layer thoughts. What are your thoughts on automatically serve? Let's pretend this is your gallery. You've got like show in a great spot. You have actually, funny enough, that might be this weekend because Savio and show are both in really good spots.
Yeah, I can't wait to play them with my only goalkeeper away to Monterey or whatever it is that the Caxa have got or something stupid. I think though this is like one of those things, isn't it, that like is kind of a strategy for you in a way, in terms of this is your way of playing the game in a way that suits the skills that you have coming from the background that you have in terms of DFS and stuff and picking out those matchups and things, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. In terms of, we've talked about this a little bit before in terms of like how I play the game and how Sean plays the game and whoever else plays the game, is that it's kind of based on the skill that you have. And your skill is like, I don't think I would have the hit rate finding those extra spots that you're talking about that you might,
even with like pick scores. And I mean, let's be real. Yeah, but I may have a DFS background, but the DFS background tells me the teams that are the highest odds to win a game that are typically at home, mm-hmm. and the guy on the team that takes like the set pieces or has the dominant role. Like, I don't think that's rocket science.
Yeah, but genuinely, like I say, I'm picking lineups that are 95 pick scored and stuff.
Yeah, but
AA
there's a little bit of flaw in that though too. Like,
yeah, there's low correlation and yeah.
Because somebody might be away.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah. Or you know, pick score doesn't know what maybe you do in like Argentina that a role changed.
True.
That, you know, yeah. I'm trying to think of a good example. No, freaking, you know what the best example is? Fucking Dusty. Like, pick score still doesn't know that he's Dust. No, but like seriously, like it's still looking at now. It's probably not, but it's still, you know, for the longest time, it's like looking at his historicals and things like that, and going, this guy has crazy AA. He does well in these type of spots. Fenerbahce is always a huge favorite.
So, are you now putting Dusan Tadic in the IKB category? Because like he basically still falls into everything that you would want picks. Like,
yeah, but you got
pick scores. You see their big favorites. He takes sets. He's on pens, misses a ton of them. But that's the kind of player you would fill in.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes Dusan Tadic and Guillaume are the same guy. And I should IKB. And also fucking get that in the, sorry, with the F-bombs flying, to start conceding a pen. What a great start.
This is why you don't check scores during the game week.
This is why, by the way, the phone is like beyond the computer turned down. This is why we, this is like the weekends that we were talking about, right? You don't know your notifications, so you don't know that Julian Desart conceded a pen until later that night.
Like, just thinking, sorry, as well, coming back to like what Philly Dilly said, and then what Malky kind of replied to it in terms of like the number of cards that you should have for per competition, and then Malky sort of mentioned, I thought that was quite a key point, really, in that you might need to double that coverage for the calendar year, which is essentially the problem I'm having at the moment, is like my guys have all gone into the playoffs and they're really quite tough games. And it's not even a case of like, I really backed Petroli against Velez this weekend. If it had been a league game, I'd have really, really backed Petroli playing against Velez, but it was a knockout tie. And that becomes a completely different scenario in a way. And so, yeah, I think for like to be able to compete all year round, which I think this current system encourages you to do with promotion and relegation, like with my thinned out gallery over these next couple of weeks, I'm not really going to play D1, I don't think.
But don't you think it's okay that like you just have a period that's explainable because of the schedule, that you're just not competitive for a bit, and you just go, all right, I'm just going to enjoy the sunlight for a little bit, because this is not the time of year that I'm
to an extent. Yeah, to an extent. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I say I like playing the game, but I've literally just been saying that I quite like not playing the game. It's a strange game, isn't it?
Like, strange game.
Yeah.
So, I think you could always follow the Josh Forth strategy, where he was like, I'm just not going to play in the summer. And we were all like, why would you do that? And then the summer ends and he's like, this was great.
Yep.
Chani decides to spend all of his money on a Fire Node stack and Prince to start the season, right?
Yeah.
So Laird, I have a question for you. It's kind of going back to me, but it's also going to what just Surf said, because Surf just said about like you need like double the amount of cards that you have to have coverage, like to have like the things right, which is like the exact converse to what I'm saying, which is like, no, don't double the amount of cards that you own. Just own them briefly and get off of them. Me and you have been chatting how we have no idea how we ended up with this many rare cards. Do you feel like you have too many cards at this point?
Me?
Yeah.
So the one thing I know is that you think I have too many cards because you think you have too many cards and I have almost the same number. So I definitely have more cards than I want and more cards than I use. And I'm probably too stubborn to sell them for $5 when I paid like $600 for them. And it's one of those that you can make the argument like they all add up to something. And I just don't believe it yet.
You know what's funny? You believed it when it got you a rare Messi.
I think that was different. But maybe it's not actually different.
That pause on Laird's face, like,
yeah,
it's not.
So I think that I'm trying to like not justify me having these cards, because I would prefer not to have them, to be honest. But I think there's a difference between I want to have an efficient gallery and I know exactly the cards that I want. And like, that's where I want to focus. And I don't want to have five lineups every game week. Like I like having more. And on the flip side, I don't really focus on limiteds. And so I can't, in my budget, like I can't have 50 rare lineups. Like it's just not happening.
Right.
And that's where this idea of like the same card, the same player in multiple scarcities or multiple versions of it, because I start to look at it more of not the number of cards I have, but the number of players I have. And I think that's the number I actually want to trim.
But then, because like my big thing that I couldn't quite understand about your idea, Laird, in a way, was like, I kind of, and I know, again, it sounds like I'm just being like, just have the same gallery as me. But I couldn't get why you wouldn't just go, right, I'm just going to play Super F.
So I don't, so just for the reason I said before that I like having like more than five-ish lineups, and I can't get the cards that I really want in super, like I can't get enough super rares. I can't turn all of my rares into enough super rares for me to think I have enough lineups. And it's not so much that yeah, that's what it is. I think having more lineups is better. And I say that as someone, and then I'm like, but I don't really want to play limiteds. Like I want to have as many lineups as I can in rare and super rare, which is where I feel comfortable playing, where I, regardless of stakes, those are the cards I want to win. And so I'm just trying to like maximize the returns I have on those cards. The problem is that this idea that I have of having every player that I want in my gallery in every scarcity, like I can afford the limiteds and the rares of some of them. But like I'm so far away from like a messy super rare. And even if I got the messy super rare, then it's like, all right, how do I get the Wendell super rare? And it's like, these are rare cards that I really like having. The way that I get one of the super rares is by getting rid of those rares that I like having. And it's like, it's like actually reducing the enjoyment that I have from these cards. And so it's just, I have to accept that it just will take a while to get there. But like I had that idea of, all right, let me get rid of my Douglas Santos rare, my Wendell rare and Hulk and cards that I love. And like, cause then maybe I can get a Hulk super rare. But it's like, but now I don't have those other cards that I really like. And I'm putting Hulk in lineups that aren't as good because I don't have the other super rare. So what was the question? Why don't I just buy super rares? That's why. I think I'm too far away from really getting all of the super rares that I want. And so I just don't feel like rushing it.
The good news is by the time you're ready, Messi will have like five games left of his career. Ready for a super. But Hulk will be fine. Hulk's playing until he's like 46.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of kids to pay off.
Yeah. He'll be the over 58 special. So Major NFT says, I can't bear to sell cards I love. Then I go to use cards I don't have anymore. Although it was time to, dump Reynoso. Don't dump Reynoso.
It's not the right time to dump Reynoso.
not now. It's less about like just getting rid of those cards for something else, but I still consider rare cards to be fun to win. And I think part of that is because I am in a place where I can get the better rare cards in my own gallery and feel like I can really compete for the top ones. And in super rare,
harder.
Whether I'm close or not, I feel very far away. And I'm not confident enough that I can turn my like really great rares into good enough super rares that will not just make me want to do like revert back after a few months.
Yeah. I think that thinking as well is sometimes what makes me think if now in the new game, I am doing the right thing, still playing super rare only in terms of like I've managed to acquire Sasaki, Wendell, those guys recently. But to do that, I had to trade a ton of my challenger guys into those. And like, I am never probably going to be able to outright buy a guy like that off the market unless I really sell down. It's not like I'm going to suddenly think I'm going to plow the, I don't know how many hundreds of pounds it would be, even now, even though prices have dropped so far, I'm never going to think I'll just plow X amount of money into this game to buy me another star like that. If Sho Sasaki did his ACL tomorrow, sort of thing. I just wouldn't necessarily think like that. I know. I need to touch wood. I don't know if this desk is actually. I don't think this desk is real wood.
Wait, is that? It's immediately.
God. Yeah. But you know, like that. That's kind of the thing. Is like I always back myself to find the next guy, but I always back myself to find the next guy. But it's like, you know, what if I can't find him on this occasion?
Malky said, "I don't know who Behab is." Had quite a good suggestion on Twitter. If you can't afford to buy 8 to 10 players for each lineup twice over, move down a scarcity. That seems very aggressive to me.
That is aggressive. You end up with a lot of limiteds.
I mean, I fit that category, I still think, don't I? I think because I've got over 100.
I think you're, because I have to go real shortly, but I think, Surf, you're being very hard on yourselves. And yeah, we probably all are. And I want to leave like two parting shots here. One is SoRare. I've always joked about this, like this time warp that SoRare puts us in, and that we think that it's been so much longer than it has been. And
we're like, 3 weeks is feeling like a long time right now.
J League has like 30 something games left, and we're all like, man, you know, I, sir, if you weren't on this, I was trolling Tuggy a little bit. What did I call him? Shusty,
yeah.
Hey, Shusty? Trying to get the dustiness on the show, who I love, right? I own tons of shows too. So that would be, I think, part one is that, you know, time is the damnedest thing. And then I'm going to say one other thing, because I've been commenting on how the stakes are down and it doesn't matter as much. What if Andy Black, you know, is the dip doctor and we're just in a dip? And we should just get as many of these as we can, because when it rises up, Laren wants to walk away. I can see it right now.
I think we need to stop. I realize it's really, like, I come off like such an asshole when I'm like, you should stop focusing so much on values. But I think we need to, and it was Surf who was, I think, on this show somewhere, was like, we don't yield the same way anymore. And so we need to think of, like, when we buy cards, what can we win from that? Not how much is this thing going to be worth in 6 months? And, like, that's what I think we need to focus on more.
Yeah. You're right. I agree. I have to go, guys. But I'll catch up at the end of this convo.
We'll talk about you now that you're leaving.
Yeah. But it was interesting because something Keith was mentioning before he went there was like about the about Sho and how dusty he's been recently. And it's kind of funny in that, like, I always look now and I'm like, oh, why did you, like, lots of people have been on about Barco recently and how oh, it's so annoying. I only bought him the other day and then he gets dropped. And I was like, well, they've been kind of rubbish for like 3-4 games. Like, there were going to be changes to the 11. You probably should have seen that coming. A bit stupid, really. And and then there was a guy in the like Latin America Discord the other day that kind of triggered me, who wrote like about how stinky Brunette has been since he's been to Tigres. And I was like, well, actually, he averages over 60 still, and he's, you know, he's still quite good, really. You won't find a better forward than that around. Thinking I'm really a smart ass. And then I've bought all these guys recently who have literally got so much worse, who have not really done what they normally do. And I guess it's because I'm buying without the context, in the same way that I've always been like, you should just buy with the context, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah. I don't know.
I think what was interesting with the way that you adjusted to the new gameplay was a combination of expanding the leagues that you were willing to dive into. And then on the flip side, not looking for the next guy, you're just finding the current guy, which I don't think that's wrong.
No, no.
But it's just very different. And so I hate to say this, sometimes it just takes time to figure out if that works.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I've been talking about, that it's been 3 weekends. Like, it feels like an absolute eternity, and it's been 3 weekends, and it takes longer than that to know if your plan works. And that's not to say like everyone's plan of what they're trying to execute after this change will work. Like, there are plenty of people who were like, oh, I'm going to go do this and it won't work. Like, my plan hasn't worked yet. So it's like, I'm hoping it works at some point.
Yeah.
So, but we just don't know yet.
Yeah. And I say, I've got some confidence in terms of what I think I've done will work. And I kind of feel the same about yours, really, and what you've done. Is some of it's just crummy timing and things.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've had some injuries, bad injury luck, and it just happens.
Yeah.
My only fear of what I'm doing is that I don't know if it's a good idea or if everyone just understands it. And so they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good idea. But
I think yours all hinges on, though, the players that you buy and the players that you go with. And if you've got the right players, it'll work. Speaking of right players, Surface won a Almendra, who's awesome. Yeah, he's really good.
You got to talk him down so that you can go buy it.
Oh, terrible. I got the first one this year, I think. So yeah, the new season one, which I was kind of buzzed about because like I tried to buy that card. I tried to buy an Almendra so many times for like 0.3 or something ridiculous. Like, Basil's had his listed for like, I don't know if he sold it now, but he had it listed for so long, just slowly decreasing the price from like the most ridiculous number. And there were so many times where I was like, oh, I feel like I should just buy it. And yeah, it's kind of, I paid literally like 0.03 this time.
Jeez.
Yeah.
See, who said card prices going down was bad?
Well, yeah.
Got the card you wanted.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I remember I got his rare card from, was it a bot? I don't know. But I remember it was like when he was like out of the squad forever at Boca. And then it was like, he's going to get a move. And I feel like I stole one. And then he didn't get the move. And I was like, oh God, he just sat there for another 6 months.
Yeah, there was so many times when it like looked likely. And I was always like, oh, I'm really gutted. I just missed that. And then it didn't happen. And I was like,
it didn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And now he's like actually scoring really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's crushing.
Is he still under 23?
I don't know.
I was going to say, but I had him so long ago, he could be 35 by now. Let's see. Till 20. Oh, no, he's running out this month.
Yeah.
Or this season. One of them is a tier 3 and cap 270. That seems great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
GG,
he's going to be really good. The only issue is like he still kind of like struggles to play 90 because he was like out for so long, and then every time he gets back for a run of games he gets injured, kind of thing. He's not really like fully got full fitness, and I'm not sure if he ever will really. He's kind of like not the most kind of player anyway. Juanfer-esque, I suppose, in that regard.
Oh, he's back.
Yep. He's not in Colombia.
Did the last 64 minutes address what you wanted to talk about at all?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Do you think what you're doing is right still?
Yeah. I do.
Took a quick second there.
No, like, I've... Like I say, I'm super like, I'm kind of headstrong about always what I'm doing anyway, in terms of if I've got something, I run with it. But yeah, I'm confident it works out. Like I say, I think so much of it is about timing. And I think in 3 weeks' time, I will feel so differently when I've got all my guys back. And, you know, everything, I've got all those options again.
Yeah.
Because I think a big part of my strategy as well has been about having, trying to get three guys, three lineups into D1. So I've got kind of three of the like 130-ish entries into contender D1 super rare, which I kind of like my odds if that's the case. Like I say, I know the SD projection is based on L15s, but I go into like every game week with like a top five finish projected. I should be able to do it. You know, I should be able to win from that regard. I think it's just a case of, yeah, I'll stick with it.
All right. Cool. It's all we can do at this point, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you to everybody for coming. If you could please like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Shout out to Quinny. If anybody has any follow-up questions, comments, whatever, feel free to leave them below the video or hit me up on Twitter at Andrew M. Laird. Surfula is at So Rare Surfula. So yeah, if you have anything or if there are any, that's it. That's all I got. Anyway, Surf, good to talk to you, and everyone else, good luck.